I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission this Thursday, December 12th, 2013, to order. And note that we have a number of agendized items to go through this morning, and bid openings, and discussions, and then it looks like we will go into budgetary discussions for the rest of the day. First order of business is child support cooperative agreement. Mr. Merrill.
Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Gentlemen, it's that time of year again. We're asked to renew our agreement with the Greene County office that provides child support prosecution for us. As a little review, this is a renewal of our agreement that essentially doesn't cost the county any money. In fact, I was provided just yesterday a memorandum of understanding that if I could approach, I brought one copy, I printed it out real quick. And it basically is signed by Laura Fors, who's the director of the Child Support Cooperative Unit, and Dan Patterson, the elected prosecutor in Greene County. They house and operate the Child Support Prosecution Office out of Springfield. For our benefit as well as Christian County's benefit. And that agreement basically says they're not asking for any money from Taney County. They intend to cover all the costs of operating the budget. And what that means is essentially they agree with the state every year that here's what their budget is going to be. They enter into an agreement with the state of Missouri that all of that money is going to be covered, reimbursed by the state for the work that they do in their office, which means that doesn't cost us anything. It's like having a free assistant prosecutor to handle our child support prosecutions for us. And so I'm asking that we renew our agreement with the co-op so that we can continue to provide this service to the people of the county at no cost to
It's the same as we've renewed every year, right?
It is. In fact, I think you've received something from Council Frank Cotty that he's reviewed that.
Right. I'm going to make a motion for approval. Don't that. Child Support Cooperative Agreement. File number I just need to, it's between Taney County, Christian County, and Greene County, and has that has been stated at no cost to the county.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve the agreement as presented for the child support cooperative agreement buy-in between Taney County, Christian County, and Greene County, really known as the County Reimbursement Cooperative Agreement. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Unless you want me to sign them right now, I will sign all these shortly and get them to.
I'm fine with that. Nikki had stopped in and asked that she be provided with a copy as soon as possible. So
what I'll do is I'll go up and when that time comes, I'll sign them in front of her and then she'll take it to the others that need to sign the agreement as well, if that's okay.
That'll probably just be me, so she can.
I can take the time.
Actually, you don't have to. If you would allow me to sign, I just have to sign one place in the back page. I'll do that.
Well, there's several agreements, I think, Jeff, but I'm going to let you look through them.
Sorry, that's just what I can do.
It's always nice when somebody's looked at something. Thank you, sir. We did vote, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Unless you need anything else, I'm going to head back over to the court.
Thank you for taking your time this morning to present this, sir.
No problem. Thank you, gentlemen.
Court orders. Before you begin, let me note that what we had requested of the county clerk's office regarding run-ons is contained. And what that does is show us which tax statements have been generated, if I'm not mistaken, to replace those that have been abated.
Correct.
And I appreciate that. It's something that we need for our file. We'll approve as well when we get there. Go ahead, ma'am.
Okay. If you look at your spreadsheets, the first one provided is for real estate.
The very first one that's on the list, am I reading this correctly? It's an increase?
The add-on, 2014-0773. It was formerly exempt. It's under private ownership, and it's being transferred, so it's being put back onto the books.
When that happens and somebody is given an increase like that at the end of the year, are they notified that they're going to be paying taxes and they have a recourse for appeal or...
This is the one. He was sent a notice from the assessor's office that he was going to get an increase. So, and generally they can either pay in protest and go through the circuit court or they can go to the state tax commission. They do accept those since they did not have the right to come to them.
Thank you very much. And there were two of those, right?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
When you said that he was given notice, what date was the notice?
This is dated October 11th.
And this is just a question. Do they pay a percentage?
That I do not know.
No, they'll pay based on whatever this end value is that was placed on it.
Yeah.
Even though the ownership wasn't for the full year.
Well, this might have been something that they caught that happened early in the year. I don't know the answer to that.
I don't know.
If it was purchased, it should have from like a school or something like that. It should be put on as a percentage.
That's what you wanted to know.
What's the name on it?
It's the Ray Edwards Trust.
It was
two parcels.
It was run on completely because it should have been put on last year. It was the old State Barn and Ruger.
State owned.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. That's... When it says incorrect land value on some of these, what does that mean?
On the Duncombe investment properties?
All the ones with Duncombe investments is Academy Commons condominiums, and about two-thirds of the complex was reassessed properly for 13. These right here did not get the correct land value for 13. These were left out, crossed a section line or a map number, and they did not get changed.
So it's an erroneous error.
That's correct.
Right, and I would like that to be stated on there, because when you say incorrect land value, then we don't know that it's not a BOE issue.
Okay.
So if we... I have no problem with it.
Yes,
I just.
But the explanation that they
give. Yeah, if you'll look over to the left, Danny, you'll see where it says erroneous, and then over to the right is your explanation of what's happening.
Well, Dan's comment is incorrect land value is not enough for him to make a decision on it.
Right. If I don't know, of course.
But that's not a big. But. Gentlemen, this first page is real estate, correct?
Mm-hmm.
If we could call this Exhibit A with today's date.
Motion for approval of Exhibit A.
Dated 12/12.
that today's date.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve Exhibit A, dated December 12, 2013, as presented. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. If I'm not mistaken, the next three pages are all personal.
Correct.
So if we could call them Exhibit B with today's date. Can you offer us a few comments about what we're looking at?
The first three, if you look in the abatement status, are pending. Those are refunds. On the first one, the taxpayer paid the wrong bill, so a new add-on was created, and he went to the collector's office, and he paid the old one by mistake. The second one was a wrong tax code, but they paid the bill, so we're refunding it and then applying the payment to the correct bill. And the last one was a wrong vehicle model. They had paid it and gone to the DMV and obviously figured out they had an issue and brought it back.
Okay. These are all 13?
There's one 2012. The third one is a 2012. And then the remaining abatements are just where we have created an add-on. We're deleting out the old incorrect bill. They have already been done in the tax book, and they are all for 2013.
Move to approve Exhibit B, dated 12-12-13.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve Exhibit B, dated 12-12-13. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion carries.
Next you have the add-on report, which is generated from the collector's tax book. And the first set is from date range October 1st to October 31st. It covers all years that were generated, which was 2013, 2012, 2011, and 2010.
I'm not seeing it. How long do you have
it? It was included in your email.
It should be the stack that you have, actually.
Oh, there it is.
Those are additions to the stack that we reviewed.
What?
Yeah, they're right here.
Right. For those that are listening that want to know the difference, what we've been approving up to this point is what the abatements are, what the reductions are.
Correct.
What we had asked for is because when there is a reduction, there is another tax statement that's issued to the taxpayer. We wanted to have that part of our record so that if someone's been paying on the wrong vehicle, we abate it. But then we see the
we
record
create
for
the
their
new bill that is
yes. with,
contains the correct information, and then we are approving those now.
And that's what we have in front of us. But would you repeat again the date ranges that we have?
Sure. It's 2013, 12, 11, and 10.
Is there a motion to approve the add-on report by date range referring to 2013, 2012, 2011, and 2010 as presented by the County Clerk's Office? These are run-ons. These are actually bills that have already been sent out, mostly paid. It's just record for our department.
Move to approve the add-on reports dated 2010, 11, 12, and 13.
For October?
For October, I mean. Ron, I can't read your
As Exhibit C, or are you going to give it
a label? Do you want Exhibit C?
Let's make it Exhibit C.
Dated today's date?
Yes.
Move to approve Exhibit C with dated 12/12/2013.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve Exhibit C, dated 12/12/13. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
And then the final one, again, is the add-on report, but it's for the month of November. And it includes the years 2010 to 2013 tax years.
Help me out. You said October?
You just approved October. This last one is for November. It'll have date range 11-1 to 11-30.
Let's name this Exhibit D. Which is really the top of the stack. Is there a motion to approve Exhibit D?
Move to approve Exhibit D, dated 12/12/13.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve Exhibit D, dated 12/12/13. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Christy, thank you. Our next issue of business is the National Forest and Mineral Receipts Payments to Counties. This is, if I'm not mistaken, an annual undertaking.
It is.
County Commission is giving the ability to request the funds be set aside in an amount from 15% to 20%. County Clerk has typed up a prior letter for us to sign to the Office of Administration asking that we set aside 15% to Title III projects, which I believe that we should do and should approve. But let me note that there are monies that have been setting in this fund for the last few years that have been untouched. And while we have these and we are holding these, there is no one that has come forward utilize these monies that the County Commission approved that they be utilized for, because they have not created what is required under federal law to be created. Now, last year I suggested that we perhaps get University Extension involved, and I'm hoping that we may get them involved this year to see if, in fact, they could assist a group or an individual into creating what needs to be created so that these funds could, in fact, be tapped for usage. And what I'd like to do is call on Donna to tell us a little bit about that and to share with us for the public's edification.
Okay. This is monies that we receive through the Office of Administration from the National Forestry Service. And part of that has to go to what's called Title III, which is what you've been referring to. And the Commission, of course, has to determine what percentage of those monies go. The lowest amount that we can send is 15%. To receive that money, an organization or group of people or even a neighborhood would have to form what's called a FireWise community. You would have to hold meetings, do education to all the members involved, and then set out a plan for the use of that money, which could be clearing property that is adjacent to national forest lands, creating a fire break, something like that. Or an organization like a fire department could create a firewise community and do the same thing. So, but for the commission to actually distribute that money, they would have to form that community, and it would then have to be approved again for distribution by the commission. Until a group or organization comes forward, that money has to sit in our account until a point in time where we receive a letter from the National Forestry requesting that money be reimbursed to them if we do not expend it.
And I think at least part of the reason that these dollars have not been tapped is because of the red tape and bureaucracy that's involved in forming what's needed to be formed before you can move forward, which is why I've made the suggestion that hopefully we can get either University Extension or some other agency involved to help any group of individuals or neighborhood in accomplishing this task.
Yeah, that would be great.
I've got a question about it. As I understand it, there's a percentage that we withhold, and we name that percentage, but the other monies that are not withheld by us automatically go to the schools.
They go to the schools and the road and bridge department.
So my question is, would we be better off to name a lesser amount?
That is the lowest amount that we can name is 15%.
Oh, okay. You've explained that, because I would be for lowering the amount, because it's...
Also, if I'm not mistaken, help me out with this. If, in fact, these monies are not utilized, they go back to the Fed.
Right.
So I feel it's imperative that in order for us to utilize the money, we need to get someone involved that can help individuals and neighborhoods best tap these resources.
That's true, Ron.
Now, if there is a way to ignore it altogether and still ensure that it goes somewhere else, and if, in fact, we could get that passed through to the schools and to the road district, I don't have a problem with that. Unless the Fed's going to clamp onto that percentage between 15 and 20 and not give it to us. And I don't have the answer to that, Dan. I think I see where you're headed.
Well, when we first came into office without having all the restrictions placed upon this, there was all the schools that were connected to forestry received, and we appropriated it out at request. Then in a few years, they ended up making it so restrictive that people, the schools and fire departments and others, couldn't meet the regulations that were placed upon them, so we have had no request on it.
Right. Schools before could use it for educating students, and they would have to do that at a time other than a regular school day. They would have to do it after the school day, and they would have to educate those kids on how to be safe in a forest without starting forest fires or something along those lines. We also had, I believe it was Mark Twain School, that used it to repair sewer problems that where it was draining onto the national forest. And we were able to utilize it back then. But then the legislators, the Congress, changed that. And it is now completely restructured differently, and it is very difficult to meet the requirements. They're wanting that money to be used for more education or actual clearing of land adjacent to the national forest.
Does anyone have any idea what the educational process is? Because there's lots of property owners that are border the national forest. If they could form a group, but if they have to go, if they're a farmer or if they're someone else, they haven't got time to go to so many days of classes or meetings or whatever. Is there any idea what the educational program is?
Yes, you can go online and you can read about it. For instance, they would have to form a group. They would have to be a president, a secretary, so on. They would have to establish a meeting, what they're going to train on during that meeting. And they can even be reimbursed for food that's provided at that meeting. But again, they have to structure all of that and then present it to you, present their plan to you, and then you would approve that plan and the expenditure of money. Then we, as a county, would have to report that plan back to the federal government once each year. If we don't expend any monies, we haven't been reporting because we haven't expended any monies. But once we expend any monies, we have to share our plan with the federal government.
Basically, we can see why no one has applied.
What's the average allocation?
I believe it's about $20,000.
The 15% is 15% of the $20,000.
No, I'm sorry. That's about the portion that goes into that Title III fund.
So
I believe it's well
County
over.
So receives over $100,000.
Yes, we receive well over
$100,000. If we were under $100,000, we could name 100% of the funds to go to road and bridge in the schools.
Exactly.
But we're not. We're over. And by law, and I just read that again to refresh, we're required to set this money aside.
Yes.
For that purpose. But my point is we're going to have to get some organization involved that can help with the bureaucracy of it in order to get that out to an area that needs it. And I really hope that we can accomplish that.
That'd be good.
My suggestion is that we approve a motion electing to set aside 15% for Title III projects. Would there be a motion to that? That's the minimum amount that we can request.
I'll make that motion.
Because you're statutorily required to do so.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is made and seconded that Taney County will elect to set aside 15% of the funds before mentioned for Title III projects. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Ron, would you like that letter typed on a different letterhead, or is that all right?
I think it should be typed on letterhead. It's got Brandon's name on it.
I'll send it up to your office.
Donna,
for signature.
I'm just kidding. I'm okay. Just trying to get it right. No, it's okay. I'll send it up. We'll get it to you. Thank you very much for your report. City of Rockaway Beach funding. Good morning, Mr. Soutine.
Good morning.
There had been a request that had come to the county regarding the city of Rockaway Beach. If I'm not mistaken, we had an agreement that needed to be in place, and you have been working on that?
That is correct.
You want to lead us through this, sir?
Okay. I'm here today to present to you and request approval of a funding agreement between Taney County and the city of Rockaway Beach. The agreement is for wastewater treatment plant improvements. This agreement, if approved, would allow the city of Rockaway Beach to utilize $25,032.31, which is a remainder of a previous funding agreement that had been approved in 2012. Due to supply delays and some other factors, the city of Rockaway Beach was unable to use the total amount of funding in that original agreement. And that original agreement had a termination date on it of September 30th. At this time, this agreement would allow the continuation of the use of those funds and would address, basically it will be a new agreement to allow the use of those remaining dollars. The agreement that we have today has been approved by the city of Rockaway Beach. And it's been approved as to form by the county legal counsel, and she has signed the document. I scanned a document to her. She signed it and scanned the document back to me.
That's good, because the ones that I have in front of me don't have that signature.
No. What you have in front of you is the original signatures of the Rockaway Beach Agreement.
Yes.
Pat had scanned this in, as I said. She signed it, scanned it back to me. I discussed with Shanna upstairs if we should take this page and attach it to those original signature agreements.
Motion for approval of the Rockaway Beach funding agreement.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the intergovernmental funding agreement between Taney County and the City of Rockaway Beach. This is also titled Wastewater Treatment Plant Improvement Project.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Is that the only copy that has the signatures of council? And is that, in fact, the
this
only
signature
copy?
Of council?
Come join me up here for just a minute, John. The reason I'm asking is I have three different agreements in front of me, but I think that they're all the same.
Yes. These agreements that you have in front of you are the originally signed agreements by the City of Rockaway Beach. What I did is I took a copy of this one, scanned it in. It's just a logistical thing. Pat's at Springfield. She was.
I understand.
So what she did is approved it, and I was just going to attach her approved signature page onto the one that has the original signature.
It won't matter where I sign, correct? Which one of these I sign?
To have three original.
It's the same page.
Yes, sir.
If you'll open one more of those, I'll sign this one.
We want to have an original for you.
Motion is in front of the County Commission to approve the intergovernmental funding agreement between Taney County and City of Rockaway Beach, titled Wastewater Treatment Plant Improvement Project, which will help to finalize some expenditures that the County Commission has already approved. Discussion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. John, I'm either going to keep these or I'm going to have you take them to Nikki, who handles the legal part for us. I don't mind at all, as long as. Let me also congratulate you. I know that it was quite a process getting to that point, and that you, in fact, had written some of those drafts that council had ultimately looked at and put together. I appreciate your work on it.
I appreciate that.
Our intent from this purpose forward, not just with them, but I know that we have one pending with the City of Forsyth.
We should be able to look at that at your next Thursday's meeting.
What we want to do is to make sure that these are expedited as quickly as possible as they move through. We appreciate it, sir. Thank you. Previous meeting minutes. Gentlemen, we have a number of minutes that are in front of us. Looking at the time and the schedule that we have, I've asked that we move those minutes until Monday for reading and approval.
Move to table previous meeting minutes.
Second.
Motion's made and second to table previous meeting minutes until next Monday. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. I'd also like to state that in a copy of these minutes, even though they have been moved forward, there is a comment in one. Dan, did you say you wanted to address?
Pardon me, I didn't hear you had your head turned. What did you say?
I didn't hear you.
I was just kidding. I said that there was a comment in one set of the minutes that you wanted to address, even though we were passing them on. You had mentioned that in preliminary, that had to deal with employees of the county.
Right. There was a set of minutes that I wanted to get through today that addressed salary increases of $1,250 per employee be entered into the budget for the 2014 budget. And I was wanting to get that addressed and approved today, but I understand that we don't have everything put together, so that's the comment I wanted to make.
Bid opening for newspaper services. Mr. Erickson. Good morning, sir.
Morning, gentlemen. We're here this morning for bid number 201311-245, 201311-245 for our annual newspaper services. This was released on November the 6th, and I have since received two responses. The first response package I have is from Branson Tri-Lakes News, and I see that Mr. Shermer's here. Simply, we're asking for a price per column inch on 9-point type with 10-point leading, and their issued response is $6. So note that. And the appropriate copies are included with signatures, etc. The second response I received was from the Taney County Times. They have the correct amount of copies and all signed, etc., as well. And their price bidding is $4 per column inch based on 9-point type with 10-point leading. So this is fairly cut and dry.
Can we take a look at those, Mr. Erickson?
Certainly.
What part of the newspaper services is this?
I'll tell you in a second. This covers election notices, employee advertisements, bid notices, public hearing notices, and in some cases that particular designated entity might be available for county tax sales, but normally that's covered in a separate bid.
Some many notices to the public?
Right.
Does it have any information in there about who the, like the numbers that they put out? And
the numbers?
The amount of papers that are put out.
Circulation. Yeah, there's a minimum circulation required there, but these are the only two qualified publications that we have in Taney County.
I guess this question was, is there a place within the paperwork that we're looking at that would inform Brandon of what the circulation is?
I don't require that. We don't ask for that. It's usually submitted within there.
Thank you.
Shane, can I ask you what your guys' circulation is? Do you have your circulation numbers?
We average right at 7,000 between the Wednesday paper and the Saturday, but Saturday a little bit more than Wednesday.
Do you have any information on your competition?
On my what?
Competition. I mean, I don't know if you guys know. I think it would be good to know what the circulation numbers are. What's the minimum that's statute put out by statute?
I think it says 5,000, but I would have to double check on that. However, you know, that particular response I've just given you refers to certain statutes requiring bid advertisements or sole source advertisements, and there's a lot of ifs and buts within the wording of that statute to cover smaller communities that have either no newspaper or smaller newspaper in lieu of a publication with a minimum of 5,000 circulation. Certain statutes requirements can be met via the way we post our bids on the internet, et cetera, just to get the information out. And that's, you know, like a lot of state statutes, it says may instead of will or shall, if instead of shall, or to allow those smaller communities within the state to be able to function and not be in violation. So I don't think we have a statute that absolutely governs this process. This process covers us with an accumulated expense for all of the advertising that some of the county offices do, including mine, with bid postings, and those charges accumulate over a 12-month period and exceed the bid limit within a 90-day time frame, and that's why we've historically put this out for bid each year.
If I could make a comment about elections that's included in the bid. For the April election, which is a municipal election, I'll be contacting the individual authorities and asking them whether they want it to go in one newspaper, which is the requirement by statute, or whether they would like it to be included in both newspapers. And then, of course, when the county runs their election, I'll be coming back to the commission to ask the commission whether they want it to go in one newspaper or both newspapers, just to be clear.
Well, and the reason for that is pretty simple. If you're in a Mark Twain school district, you really don't need to run in a newspaper that covers mostly the west and part of the central part of the county. That's
exactly.
You know, that's understandable.
Yeah. Thank you, Donna. And one other footnote that brings to mind for me, when we do have an occasion to declare or make a recommendation to you all to declare a certain vendor as sole source, which I think my position is pretty well known on that. I shy away from sole source declarations unless it's absolutely no other choice. But by state law, when we do decide to pursue that avenue, we are required to run that ad in both publications. So whichever award is given to whichever publication here, we still need the other guys, if you know what I mean, on occasion. So. In this case, I would recommend award to the low bidder, Taney County Times, at $4, as written.
My only concern is the numbers. So if it's public notices, if the maximum amount of people aren't being reached, then it's not necessarily the best bid. And I don't know the answer without knowing circulation numbers. Is there web access for either one of you guys? You guys?
We do, yes.
Do you have like a...
Well,
see how
we
many
have about 40,000 unique computers looking at our website every month. 40,000
Different
computers looking at our website in any given month.
So if I look at your website three times, it doesn't count me three
you're
times.
One.
I'm
one. You're one. That's right.
And Jan, I'm sorry, I know you said you don't, you're a reporter. Do you guys have any web access?
What's your druthers, gentlemen? Do you want to seek further information? Do you gentlemen want to make a motion today? What do you have? There were days past when we were required to utilize both.
Right. If one newspaper isn't going to come out until a certain time, I've had to put it in the other newspaper to meet my statutory requirement.
If you take away the web access, web... whatever that's called. I'd still like to know what their circulation is for Taney County Times. If it's at the minimum, and I don't know what it's at, but if it's at the minimum of 5,000, what $4 per column inch for the same reach, it's the same price. So they're actually even though the column inch is the same, or different. As far as actual numbers of people, again, this is for notices to go out to the people. Now, if their numbers are higher than 5,000, then I don't know. You factor in the 40,000, then I doubt if there's any comparison. So when you start, you know, dividing it out, it makes sense to go with somebody, in my opinion, that has more of a reach. I mean, if it's a public notice, it's to get it out to the public. I don't know what the requirements are, the rules are as far as using both papers, if we can or can't. I don't know. That's where I look to you guys and your wisdom and experience. Danny?
Follow the state statute.
I guess the only light I could shed on any of this, since we seem to have hit an impasse, is this process, the bid process, does require that the particular responder honor this price for a 12-month period. And that's a pretty generous thing for both responses, because I know that the going rate fluctuates to some degree. When we've had to run a particular notice for sole source, for instance, and had to use both entities, obviously the Taney County Times had been designated in the previous bid process as our vendor for that purpose, and it was quite a bit higher when we had to run a bid notice for a sole source declaration in the Branson Times, in the Branson Tri-Lakes News, when they were not our vendor, designated vendor. So the price fluctuates greatly, and in this case, the bid process does lock the particular responder into that price, and that's a savings for the county. As far as circulation, we've not been requiring a minimum circulation or even for the vendors to put forth or the responders to put forth what their total circulation is. We haven't done that before. We can reject this bid, and I can re-let it with that stipulation in there. But I know that the Branson, Mike has come forth and said several times that he's got options for the internet and stuff, which kind of skews the black and white, if you will, responding in a bid process. So then we might be toying with the idea of a proposal versus a bid.
Well, the goal is to, my understanding is the goal is to get notices out to the public, whether it be through, obviously through newspaper, and then whatever added benefits that they have. So if it's an added benefit, then we always need to look at the cheapest and the best. And whenever you do the division, the cheapest, I mean, price per column inch is one thing, but then by the time you divide it out by the amount of circulation, the people that see it, that's where you get your real numbers. Agree or disagree?
Well, I agree. My function is to make sure that we're not spending beyond $4,500 within a 90-day period with one vendor, regardless of the circulation, regardless of the cost per column inch, etc.
And my function is to get the best bang for our buck for the citizens.
Right.
Yes, Don.
I was just going to share with you, when I came into office in 2003, the commission I know is approving both bids. At least that's my belief, because we were publishing all of the elections in both newspapers. And then at some point, I can't tell you what year, I had a couple of political subdivisions come to me and say, we're not required to publicize in both newspapers. And since I'm running the election for those political subdivisions, they have the authority to tell me to put it in one newspaper of general circulation or to put it in two. So a couple of years ago, I changed it. At one time, I was going with only one because that was the way I understood the bid structure. And then I had some concerns raised by individuals, so I started contacting the political subdivisions and asking them, what is your preference? Do you want me to go strictly with what the county's bid is, or do you want it put in both newspapers, or whatever? So for me, and that may be something you want to do, you may want to separate elections out of this bid and do it separately, because I'm just trying to satisfy the needs of the political subdivisions of Taney County.
Brandon, I'll give you a little history on what's taken place in the past. This matter of circulation has been brought up almost every time this bid's been put out. As I represent the eastern side of the county, I expect and hope that whoever the bid goes to would provide services to the far eastern side of the county. And that was a main concern of mine when these bids were put out before. And so with the use of internet services and all this, I feel like some of those questions have been addressed based when this subject first come up in my first term of office. So not as many people had internet services, not as many people used it for a news source. And so that's where I'm at with this. It's different than before, when I had to use the circulation numbers to what the people I represented to make my decision. So I'm looking out for the best interest of the entire county now. That's where I just want to give you a little history on it.
I take note that the bid responses are identical to the previous bid, which was June of 2012, so that's commendable to both papers. They haven't raised the 6 and 4 last time around.
Well, I think there's something else that's been left out of the information that you have. If I could share that with you. At one point in time, the Branson Tri-Lakes newspaper started publishing my election ballots in another publication that came on the east side. What was that called?
Taney County Republican.
Taney County Republican. He started doing that. And also the Tri-Lakes newspaper, or Taney County Times, sorry, puts my ballots in the Branson Independent. So I hate to further cloud the issue, but those are facts that you need to think about when you're making your decisions. And I don't know if they do that with all of the things that are put in the Taney County Times, but you know my ballots go into the Times.
Gentlemen, do we want to continue discussion? Do we want to make a motion, or do we want to defer?
Move to award bid number 201311-245 to Branson Tri-Lakes News.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to award the bid of 201311-245 to Branson Tri-Lakes News. Discussion?
Either of you?
All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
In that is not the low bid, then I would, in the bid tabulation, based on your instructions, indicate a footnote that in this case it was
County
not,
Commission
not lowest
made their decision
best.
Based upon the reasons that these individuals presented.
Okay. Thank you.
Assessment maintenance plan. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. I brought you just the cover letter that's put to the State Tax Commission on top of the maintenance plan. And if I may, apologize for not being here for our court orders this morning to you all as well as our county clerk.
Chuck, if I could interrupt, I forgot to state that I'd like to thank both papers that are here. Thank you for your bids. Thank you for your time.
Here, I'm going to give you a copy. I only have two copies here, Chuck, and I'll split one.
I read that one.
You've got another?
I didn't print another. Okay.
It's okay. All right.
Go ahead, sir.
Anyway, again, I apologize for not being here for the court orders this morning. I should have been. And to the clerk, I visited with Christy in the hall, and she let me know that y'all wanted more information, and I will try to make that happen.
Jimmy came in and took care of it for you.
Yeah, I know Jimmy did, but I should have been here. I apologize. The plan's before you. I know you've had it for a few days or a week or something. Mr. Kyle, Jim Kyle, our regional representative, walked me through putting this all together. Try to answer questions if you have some.
Well, my apologies to you, but prior to today, I haven't seen this. That doesn't mean it wasn't there. We've been dealing with budget and other things, and it could have been in my box, but this is the... This morning when we started prelim was the first time I've had an opportunity to pick it up. But that's probably just now, because it wasn't given to us and the commission.
You're talking about the cover letter?
No,
I'm talking
actual
about
the plan.
Yeah, uh-huh. Did you email it?
No, I carried it by hand and took it to Mickey's office.
Okay. We just haven't. We've been doing budget every day that we've been here, Chuck. We just haven't got to.
But yeah, I took it up. I could check my
my log. I was just letting you know.
It's probably in my box. I'm not doubting that. I haven't seen it yet, though. We started looking at this morning when it was on the agenda, but I didn't know when it got there.
Okay.
So, continuing on with the letter, if you
just that's the letter I sent. I can read it to you if you like, but it just briefly says what the plan of the assessor's office is to.
You can go over this if you like. I know the media's here, and if you want to touch on what's in front of us, I think that would be good, Chuck.
Okay.
We can go from there.
We had four items. Item one is statistics.
Uh-huh.
We scheduled to do our market studies in May of 2014. This will last time to gather as many as sales as possible. Sales ratios will be ran quarterly and submitted to the state. The state has a program to come off the letter in just a second. The state has a program, a market study program. Anytime a property is sold in the county, when that information comes to our office, we send out what we call a sales letter and ask the new owner to provide what they paid for it. It's a voluntary situation. It's not a mandatory. I lost the term that they use where you're required to provide that in certain places. We don't do that here. So anyway, we receive those sales letters, and that gives us a handle on what properties are selling for. The assessor's office, as you all know, comes up with their values on a cost index called a Honeycutt system, has for years. That system is provided by the state as well. I'd say that most of the counties in the state use it. A lot of them don't, though. They use different ones like Marshall Swift and Vanguard, different ones. But anyway, the sales letters that go to provide to these sales ratios is what we work on a lot to see if the cost approach that we use is getting good values. And those, which is always an issue, or generally always an issue, is the state being satisfied with our values, compliance. I lost the word there for a minute. But when we're not in compliance, these ratios is what they hang their hat on and say we're not doing well. Scheduled to have final review May 1, 2014. As I've shared with you all before, we've got three teams out now instead of two as previously. We're working towards those values that will go on properties for January of 2015, doing a reassessment, starting that a little bit early. We have kind of backed off on that just recently and looking at new construction, because that's important to our political subdivisions. So we're veering off, you might say, just a little bit on reassessment and doing what we've done in the past, looking for new construction to be sure that we've got all the new structures on the books. Last sentence of the paragraph there, it says that I'm in the process of implementing the Villa program, which was what we had when I got here in September. I believe I shared this with you all, but for information, about a third of the office was not happy with that program. Other side, two-thirds were happy with the program when I got here. I have been working with the folks that provide that program, and happy to say just in the last couple of weeks, they have been working better to try to satisfy the needs of our mapping department. They're the ones that haven't been satisfied with the program. I don't have a good sense of where that will go. The preferred situation is where the assessor, the collector, and the clerk are all on the same program. As you all know, that was the goal when this program that we're using was purchased and was implemented. The clerk and the collector, after, I believe, extensive shot at it, so to speak, were not satisfied and said, we're not going to use it. So consequently, they're, as you know, again, in the process of looking for a new program. After the first of the year, mostly we've had two interviews that I've sat in on with a company by the name of DevNet and another one by the name of Ulrich. And both of those, I'm quite certain, were two of the bidders that, the top three bidders that y'all looked at when that program was accepted, what, a couple of years ago. Again, I can't tell you where this is going to end up. I sense that, I believe that in my experience of the last 3 months and being at some meetings with other assessors, it's best if we were all on the same program. I say that again because if the collector and the clerk find a program and it works through this process that's come about before me here, I think both of them are going to be very particular about what they pick and be more confident of it working. Bottom line to me is that if they find something that really works, then I will look at the assessor side, and if I can feel like it works, then I would look at if we can afford it to go so we would have all three offices on the same program. I told my staff recently that, and this you're aware of as well, but I've been looking at the situation I found myself in with our home in-house program, what we call Melissa's program generally, that we were on previous, the program that we're working under, Gamma Villa, and then an option of a third program. I've come to the place that until the clerk and the collector find something that works, they're 100% satisfied, I don't think it'd be wise for the assessor to either go back to the old program or try to look at it, spend too much time looking at new programs. So I'm focused on working with what I've got, what was here when I got here, and I'd like to think it would work. But I'm still up in the air where we're going. I know that's not a happy place for any of us to be, but that's where we are.
If I'm not mistaken, sometime during the day during the exec, we're going to specifically talk about contracts and agreements.
Yes.
So I don't want to go.
Yeah, I won't go there except
just contracts. But let me say something very quickly, Chuck. I applaud your common sense approach to this. I know that's not an easy challenge that you're faced with. And I know that you're trying to take into consideration the overall package and software needs of three offices rather than just one. And what you have just outlined here, I think, is something to be proud of. I truly believe that. Good. And I think you're headed in the right direction. And I'm delighted to hear that you're looking at all aspects of where this is going to take us and what's going to be best for the county. I
appreciate your confidence. Thank you,
sir.
Again, this going to the plan, if it's a statutory thing we have to do every other year. Y'all are aware of that, I think. And again, the State Tax Commission rep, Jim Kyle, helped put this together. I asked one of my assessor, what do we call those mentors, you know, what do you do with this? He says, you fill it out and then put it in the file and you don't look at it again. So it's one of those kind of things, but it's what we do, and there may be some value in it. Haven't got my hands on that yet.
This has to be by the first of the year?
Yes, sir.
Yes, January 1st. And
it needs your approval, of course, as you know, Danny, and there's a place on it for your all signature.
And we apologize, and I want to clear something up for sure, that Nikki has probably, she's probably got it before us, but as we've had these stacks of papers of the budget in front
been
of
there,
us.
Been there, done that. Nowhere
so you know where we're at. It's just the fact that all three of us, I guess, have not had the chance to review it, and we'll just take it up probably next week.
Don't let Nikki know, but she asked me about this before I got to her. She's staying on the ball up there for me.
Sure she is.
Ask you, is there any major differences that we might look to between this two-year plan and the two-year plan that we're currently in?
Honestly, Ron, I have not, just from what I told you, that it's a document that's put together and really not used, from my understanding. I have not sat down and looked through the old plan. So I couldn't answer that question.
If there was input from Kyle and the State Tax Commission, is there reason to believe that if Taney County adheres to the plan that you will be a part of and the commission would sign off on, that they would in fact live up to their obligation of paying their percentage of the monies that are due for assessment expenses within the county? Do you think that this plan will lead us in that direction? I guess that's my question.
As I've kind of said, it's a requirement that we do, and I don't see that it, from experience that you're talking about, and I don't know that it has a whole lot to do with it, quite honestly. I mean, their goal, the State Tax Commission goal, as you all know, is that properties are assessed equally. If everybody had a $100,000 home, they'd all be assessed at $100,000. That is the responsibility of the assessor, of course, and you all as sitting on the Board of Equalization, we all have that same responsibility. They look at what we do, and they control that funding, and
okay, this plan also has a budget that's tied to it?
Correct.
So we definitely need to be, I just came back to those last three or four pages, we definitely need to be gleaning through this during budget time too.
As Mr. Kyle assisted me in preparing this, we had our budget, your budget on the table, and we worked with those numbers, so those numbers should be accurate.
The reason I asked the question about the plan is because I'm remembering back to the last two-year plan and the discussion with a member of the State Tax Commission that if, in fact, the County Commission got involved with the plan and if, in fact, the assessor followed the plan as outlined and agreed to by the State Tax Commission and the county, would the state be forthcoming with funds? The answer at the time was yes, and for a while they were. So that was why I asked the question.
Well, I'm glad you bring it up. That's a good seed there. I think I have a handle on why those funds stopped. I think I've got a good handle on that, in fact. But I might run that question back by them another time or again.
As early as today.
Yep.
Because we have a budget meeting scheduled for just about the balance of the day, we'll begin tearing into this. And
okay.
We won't lose any time getting to it before the end of the year is what I'm trying to
appreciate
say. We're
that.
Not going to let it lapse.
Yeah. Okay.
I appreciate your
More
work.
More questions come up, let me know. We'll be glad to answer.
Thank you. Do you have any other questions, Chuck? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Chuck? I think we are scheduled to go into executive session for the very purpose that.
Okay.
How? Let's see. I'm reading this here.
I'll hang around that.
No, hold on just a second. We're scheduled, and they have us down for the commission conference room, and then we'll go directly into budget discussions following that. But if you could join us pretty soon, let's if it's all right, let's stand in recess till we get upstairs. And then we'll go into exec up there. Is that okay? Thank you.